Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting next to Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, let me just start by saying I believe I am fully immersed in training camp because I no longer know what day of the week it is. I don't know if the practices are in the morning or in the evening or exactly what's going on. What I do know is that today is a day to shoot Packers Unscripted. So here we are. And let me throw it to you by starting with, through this first handful of practices, a couple non-padded workouts, a few padded workouts, who's jumped out to you? Who's impressed you so far in Green Bay?
Well, first off, I'm with you, Mike, on this. the fact that you really get lost in this thing. The days don't mean a whole heck of a lot once you get to this point of camp. The only thing I'm sure of is come Sunday I have an off day. So that's what I'm focused on from a personal perspective. Professionally, though, a guy that really has stood out to me through this first week of camp has been Lance Kendricks. Now, this is a guy you and I talked about at length. Going back to the offseason program, his resume is well-defined. He comes from Milwaukee, strong ties of the state of Wisconsin, played for the Badgers, goes and plays his first six NFL seasons with the Rams after being a second-round pick. But much like Jared Cook, has never gotten that taste of the playoffs. Now he comes to Green Bay, he's paired up with Aaron Rodgers, and I think when you look at the first five practices, has really maximized the opportunities he has. Now the thing that stands out to me the most in terms of what he brings to the table as a player is the fact that he is so versatile. His body type fits sort of an H-back type role. But he's also, he knows how to make plays down the field. So, we focus so much on Martellus Bennett. And rightfully so. He's a Pro Bowl tight end. He's caught 90 passes in a season. I mean, he's done everything you can really look for in this league. But Lance Kendricks really shouldn't be overlooked. And I think in the first week of camp, the plays he's made, the catches he's had, particularly in some of the red zone periods, tells you that this guy can be a player for this offense.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think what's noticeable in a lot of ways about Kendricks is just that he seems to have a presence on the practice field every day. We haven't seen any flashy plays necessarily. We haven't seen stuff that's going to make all sorts of highlight reels. But every day he's making a catch or two, or maybe even sometimes close to a handful in those team periods in 11-on-11 work, where you and I have been around this long enough. There are players, veteran players, accomplished players who, you know, go a couple of training camp practices not getting much thrown their way. Young players who are trying to make an impression, trying to make the roster, who disappear for a few days, nothing happens. Kendricks is making a play of some kind, moving the chains, catching a ball over the middle, catching one by the sideline. He's doing something every day, and there's a lot to be said for that, especially a guy who's coming into a brand new offense.
Well, and I think that's the thing that stands out to me the most, Spoff, is the fact that you look at him, and when he's on the field, if you didn't know any better, you wouldn't think that this is a guy that's new to this offense, that's new to this team.
It's a good point.
He looks like he's at home with what he's being asked to do. Now, there were some similar concepts, and I think he had a good feel watching the Packers over the year of what they like to do offensively. But there's no guarantees. Even when you are 6, 7, 8 years in this league, when you jump onto a new team, sometimes that learning curve can be steep. But in terms of Kendricks and where he's at right now, it seems like he's been able to catch up relatively quickly.
Yeah, well, I'm going to flip to the defensive side of the ball for a guy that's jumped out at me. And I don't mean to be redundant in terms of some of these players that we highlight and talk about. But you talk about a guy who gets noticed every single day on the practice field. It's Josh Jones, the rookie safety out of North Carolina State. We've seen him playing some deep center field at times. We've seen him lined up in more of that inside linebacker position in some of the sub packages. Was maybe a little bit too rough or too aggressive early on when the pads went on. You know, there was a little bit of a confrontation there with Richard Rodgers. But the aggressiveness of this young player, you can sense it. He feels that he's going to have a role in this defense. He's making plays out there on the practice field that indicate there's no reason to hold him back just because he's a rookie. Now, he hasn't been a superstar. I don't want this to get taken out of context. Lance Kendricks has caught some passes on him. Martellus Bennett has caught some passes on him. He's not out there stopping every single thing that comes his way. But for a rookie, a young guy, he's definitely made a name for himself already in this young stage. And as we talked about before, I can't wait to see maybe what he does in the preseason games.
Yeah, and Mike, that's really the biggest thing is that when you look at a rookie coming in here, when you look like you belong, again, that doesn't look like you're going to be the MVP of the league or the defensive rookie of the year or anything right. like that. But when it looks like you belong in a defense, I have to imagine for Ted Thompson, his scouts, that that's a pretty good indicator that this kid can play. And again, we'll have to see exactly where he fits. But Mike McCarthy had such a great comment, and you wrote about this in your story about the safeties this week, about how this is one of the deepest groups he's ever coached. And when it was brought to him by one of the reporters about, well, is there going to be an issue with trying to get all these guys involved, he didn't hesitate. He doesn't look at it as a situation of, well, yeah, we got, you know, five, six safeties, and we'll be able to get two, maybe three of them on the field, you know, at times. No, I mean, he looks at all these guys as being able to play. And I think that's really, when you go back and see where they've improved from in that safety room 4 years ago, the fact that they're in that position now really speaks to the job Darren Perry's done, the job the scouting department's done, and overall, you know, just those safeties in general being able to come in and pick things up.
Yeah, and for all the talk about Josh Jones, the rookie, the youngest safety in the bunch, I do want to mention, I think Morgan Burnett, the most veteran safety of those guys, has had a standout camp so far. Watching him in practice on Tuesday, I believe it was, he had a play, you know, a play action down by the goal line, an exaggerated play action fake by Brett Hundley. Burnett didn't bite on it at all. He stuck with Lance Kendricks as Kendricks flared out towards the pylon, nowhere to go for the pass. Another one over the middle to Martellus Bennett. Morgan Burnett knocks it away, just, you know, doing those classic old pro Morgan Burnett type of things. So I just wanted to mention that because the old guy in the safety bunch is doing some good things too.
Yeah, 28 years old to be considered old, that's pretty good company to be in.
Yeah, all right. Well, with that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. Wes, we talked a lot in the offseason about leadership in the locker room, in the meeting rooms, where it comes from, how it evolves. There were some questions with regards to the Packers offensive line, maybe just how the leadership would take shape over the last, you know, whatever it's been, 13 months. You've lost both Josh Sitton and TJ Lang in different situations. Brian Bulaga, the right tackle, who we talked about, you know, played at pretty much a Pro Bowl level in 2016. I had a conversation with him after practice the other day and talking a little bit about the leadership thing. I found his response very interesting because he, without necessarily saying it in so many words, but he basically said his approach to leadership is to let everybody who deserves to speak in the room, let them have their say. He says there's a lot of guys in that room, Jari Evans, Corey Linsley, David Bakhtiari, Lane Taylor now has a season under his belt. A lot of guys in that room who have accomplished a lot already in the National Football League. So even though Bulaga is the longest tenured Packer in that group, he doesn't look at it necessarily as I'm the guy standing on you know, as the king of the mountain. Right. I just think his leadership approach and how he's going about it with this group is interesting.
Well, and Bulaga is such an interesting case study because this is the guy that's sort of the tie to the old guard of the Packers offensive line. You got to remember he came in 2010 behind Chad Clifton, behind Mark Tauscher, the guys that he played with, Scott Wells.
Right.
What I think you could see is sort of what we're carrying that torch for the offensive lines that stems back to the early 2000s. Bulaga's the tie to that now without TJ Lang being in that room. And there's a lot of young guys on this roster. There's no doubt about that. We've talked about the line and, you know, and how youthful they are for the most part. But at the same time, it's interesting the wide array of experiences in there now with now you bring in Jari Evans and what he can offer to not only the young guys, but even, you know, Bulaga and Bakhtiari. The experience that Linsley has playing as much as he did Bakhtiari. But at the end of the day, I go back to the comment that Bakhtiari made right at the start of the offseason program that he views it as Brian Bulaga's room now. He's the vet in that room. He's the leader. And there were some reporters, I think, that were asking James Campen about that this offseason. I mean, is that something that that is that a role that that Bulaga relishes? And Canton sort of said, he's like, you know, I don't know how he is with you guys, but in our room, Brian Bulaga speaks, and he speaks often.
Yeah.
And he does set the tone for those guys. And everybody has their own way of leadership, but I think it's a role that Bulaga definitely has embraced.
Yeah. I asked Brian as well about the idea of playing at a Pro Bowl level like he did last season. All of his teammates, the coaches, all felt that 2016 was his best season. Now, it was also his healthiest season. Right. Really, since he's come into the NFL. So there's a lot to be said for that. But in terms of the recognition, I guess his response was somewhat as expected, given his demeanor and just his approach, that having the respect from his teammates and coaches is what matters to him the most. He's not going to go out there and politic and lobby for the Pro Bowl votes and all that kind of stuff. If it happens, I still think it could happen for him. At some point, if he stays healthy again in 2017, maybe this is the year. But it's not something that that is top of mind for him. I think he keeps his focus exactly where he wants it to be.
Yeah, it is tough because, I mean, I think particularly with the Pro Bowl voting, I think all pro teams have kind of changed a little bit how they vote on that and the process that goes into that. But with Pro Bowl voting, there is an element of popularity involved, an element of names. I think, and with all due respect to Jeff Saturday, I think you saw that somewhat in 2012 when Saturday actually ended up, you know, getting benched. Evan Smith became the starter, and then a week later he ended up being named the Pro Bowl center. So
right.
That kind of stuff happens. Now, the thing for Bulaga that gives me hope is the fact you look at TJ Lang. Now, Lang, you know, he had to wait, you know, and he had to find his opportunity. But last year, even in a year in which he dealt with some injuries, people started to take notice of what he brought to the table or exactly what his skill set was. Bulaga's right there. And as you said, with the injuries, if he stays healthy, you saw what he can do this year. You saw what he can do in 2014 as well. I mean, this is a very talented guy. He was a first-round draft pick for a reason. He was a highly touted recruit at Iowa for a reason. Fortunately for the Packers, it's a really good luxury to have him at right tackle. For a lot of teams, that would be their best tackle. He would be the guy blocking the blind side. But for the Packers, that's one of the reasons they feel good about this offensive line is because of that combination of him and Bakhtiari.
Yeah, and when it comes to the championship belt and the little competition going on between the offensive and defensive line, Bulaga's just fine with Bakhtiari taking the lead on that, making whatever decisions go along with it. The belt, the last time I saw it, it was in the upper portion of Bakhtiari's locker, which is right next to Bulaga's locker. And quite frankly, he just doesn't pay it much mind. He's sort of like, that's Dave's thing.
Yeah, he did have a funny little quip, though, about how Dave kind of looks like Mankind.
Mankind,
Nick Foley, the WWE wrestler with the long hair and everything, which I don't know if Bakhtiari heard that comment, but I'd be interested to see what his response to it would be.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to find out his reaction. But with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. Wes, earlier in the show, we were talking about players that have impressed us, that have stood out through this first week of practices in training camp. Another guy that really we should mention, and he's a guy that maybe not a lot of Packer fans know about or they're not too familiar with him, and it's the number two fullback on this roster right now, Joe Carriage. It's hard not to notice him out there. The other day I saw him, they were running, the running backs, all the running backs, including the fullbacks, were running one-on-one pass routes against linebackers, and Carriage, you know, reached out and kind of hauled in a pass one-handed going down the sideline. Then you watch the half line drill where he's lined up as a lead blocking fullback, and he's really putting some powerful lead blocks right in the hole there on linebackers. As I said, it's hard not to notice him out there, and you just wonder, you know, a somewhat unknown guy who was on the 53-man roster down the stretch last season, he's really making a bid for a roster spot again, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, Mike. And what's surprising, too, is not only was he on the 53, he was on the game day roster 8 times last year. I mean, this is a young man that not only did he get promoted, but he got used in terms of the special teams and even some, I think it was like 20 snaps offensively and some full house packages. I think Joe Carriage has been as impressive as anybody in terms of, you know, these younger guys that are trying to make the roster,
yeah,
that maybe aren't the household names, maybe aren't the draft picks. And I think it's important to remember that this is a guy that earned a spot last year. He started the year in Washington, ends up getting cut, makes his way to Green Bay on the practice squad. And when the Packers were looking for some more special teams guys, he's the one that got the call. Now, it goes back to a conversation I remember having with Jake Ryan last year, his teammate and roommate at Michigan.
Right.
You know, Carriage has never been a guy his entire career that has really been like a big name or somebody that was just, you know, everybody in the locker room media-wise just gravitated towards as soon as the doors opened. He's been somebody that's had to work for everything he's gotten. And so far, once again, as much time as we spend talking about these three rookie draft picks and Ty Montgomery and Aaron Ripkowski, Joe Carriage is making sure that people don't forget him as well.
Yeah, and I don't think Carriage is necessarily going to, you know, put a serious challenge into the number one spot with Aaron Ripkowski. With everything Ripkowski did last season, carrying the ball, catching passes, special teams, all of that. Pass protection, good point. I think everything Ripkowski has done, he is the number one fullback on this roster. But I have to admit, I went into the offseason in looking at what the Packers are doing at running back and all these wide receivers. You start to play the numbers game. The players don't like to do this. We get to do it kind of from the outside. You start playing the numbers game and looking at the roster, and you just wonder, boy, with all these other running backs, wide receivers, can the Packers really keep two fullbacks on the roster the way they ended last season, like we talked about? You really start to question it. And then you see what a guy like Joe Carriage is doing out there on the practice field. If he's one of the 53 best players, he will be on the 53. That's how they do things here.
Yeah, and it is funny. I go back and look at last season, and John Kuhn ends up moving on, gets the opportunity with the Saints, is doing good work down there. They start the season with only one fullback in Aaron Ripkowski, and within 2 months they have another one back on the 53. There just seems to be something about that position. You know, Mike McCarthy loves it. They like it for a number of reasons, in addition to what they can do offensively, but as you said, some of the special teams contributions as well. And Carriage is another guy that fits that prototype. It just seems like that spot, whatever you make of it in the NFL, and, you know, is it an archaic position? Is it a dying breed? The Packers still know the value of those players, and I think you saw it. I think you saw it with Aaron Ripkowski last year, and in third down situations, how reliable he was, something that Kuhn did for so many years so well. And now you're seeing it with Carriage being able to make the plays he has so far in camp. And he packs a serious punch. I mean, you watch him in these half-line drills. You talk about guys that are just giving it 110%, giving everything they have. I mean, he's putting what he has into every snap. And really, that's what you have to do to make sure that you can defend your spot on that active roster.
Yeah, and you mentioned Carriage being the college teammate and roommate of Jake Ryan. It's interesting to me, those two guys, they're both pretty quiet. They don't say a whole heck of a lot, but they're both all business types out there on the field. And with regards to the number of fullbacks you might keep, Mike McCarthy suggested at one point, I don't remember if it was the offseason or the start of training camp, but kind of suggested that, you know, in some past years when the Packers have moved a tight end into the fullback position, that, you know, there were guys that they asked to do that who weren't necessarily all that comfortable with that, you know, that alignment. And Martellus Bennett, for example, is not a guy I necessarily see the Packers having line up at fullback in, you know, that. Whereas Lance Kendricks, you know, maybe they would. All that being said, you know, maybe that is a reason, another reason they might look at keeping a second fullback on the 53 if they feel like that player deserves a spot.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, you go back to Jared Cook last year, wasn't always the most comfortable in those situations. There was that one particular instance where I think he ended up crossing up and hitting Rodgers. So it's a valuable position. And again, it's something I think the Packers, they definitely see the benefit of it in this offense.
All right, with that, Wes, let's go to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford and Wes Hodkowitz. Wes, before we go, I suggested in the last segment all the things the Packers are doing with these young wide receivers. Nothing has really been sorted out yet, certainly, in the first week of training camp. You have your big three at the top, Nelson, Cobb, and Adams. We've seen Geronimo Allison and Trevor Davis do some things early in camp. We've seen Malachi Dupree have some moments. Max McCaffrey seems to be another guy that that certainly shows up once in a while. D'Angelo Yancey, another draft pick who's starting to get his feet wet. there's a lot to be sorted out here, and it's just barely getting started.
Yeah, you're right. And again, we talked a little bit in the last couple episodes about Josh Jones, wanting to see him in a preseason game. Really excited to see all these young receivers get a chance to go here, both on family night and then also in that first game against the Eagles, because there are so many guys there. And I think they're going to get a lot of opportunities, because I have to imagine the Packers will be careful with how they use those big three. If I'm the Packers, though, right now, I think I'm impressed with what I've seen from these young guys. You know, looking quickly at Dupree, has all the ability in the world. I mean, one of the top recruits in the country when he went to LSU a few years back, ends up, you know, being an early declarant for the draft and ends up going into the seventh round. But there's a lot of talent there, and we saw it in the offseason program, and I've seen him make some nice plays so far in camp that, depending on how the numbers shuffle out, and we'll have to see how that goes, but it seems like there's a lot to work with in him, his particular case.
Yeah, and I know you wrote about him in the offseason, Max McCaffrey. Yeah. I like to call, I know the natural nickname is Mad Max. I like to call him Money Max when I watch him on the field, on the practice field, because it just seems like when the ball goes his way, he catches it. Yeah. When the quarterback needs a sharp route run, you know, you wrote about his route running in the offseason, his dad, Easy Ed McCaffrey, certainly passed on a lot of those skills and traits to Max. And, you know, he's one of these guys. He got a little bit of NFL experience last year on the practice squad for the Packers. You know, he doesn't have the pedigree of his brother Christian, who's a first-round draft pick now. But one of these guys that you like to see maybe what happens in these preseason games and just see how strong of a bid he makes to stick here in Green Bay.
Yeah, you talk so often in the offseason of, you know, guys going to really fancy training facilities. I don't know if it gets any better than what Max did. I mean, his route running coach was basically his dad. He trained with Christian. Such a great base there for him to work off of. And again, going back to the offseason program, his route running so crisp, so sharp, so good in and out of his breaks. Didn't get a lot of opportunities to play last year with Oakland in the preseason. We'll see what he can do in Green Bay.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye on that. But we'll sign off on Packers Unscripted for now. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team and training camp on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.